Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is B'Metzia, daf Ayin Ches. We left off on daf Ayin Zayin and Beis. We are at the Amar Rava, Hai Mandu Usfe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas' mother, called the Basimcha La'a Shalom, also by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives, they should return home safely, and also by Daniel Goldstein, in honor of his father, Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Ben Mordechai Halevi on his 9th yard site, which falls out on Shabbos and the Shemesh Evan Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to talk about today is when a person has a hard time collecting the full payment. Do we assume that a kinyan was already made or that a kinyan was not already made if he hasn't been paid in full yet and he's trying hard to get paid in full? Then the Gemara is going to discuss right before the Mishnah, how much extra can you pay workers when your original workers quit at the expense of the original workers? Meaning we said that if the original workers quit and it's a davar aved and the job needs to get done, so hire somebody else. There's no one else available. Pay them extra. There's always people available if you're willing to pay extra. And then deduct that from the original workers. But ad kama, how much can you pay extra for those workers at the expense of the original workers? Then the Mishnah is going to discuss your responsibility to pay if you use a rented animal differently than how you agreed to use it. That you agreed that you were going to rent this car and only drive it on the highways. But then you drive it in mountainous terrain or whatever, or something like that. You use it in a very different way than you had initially agreed to. The Gemara is going to have four explanations of the Reisha of our Mishnah, because the Reisha doesn't seem to distinguish between the cause of death of the animal that you rented. I mean, you used it differently and it dies, but shouldn't we look at to why it died? And in the Seifa, it does look to why it died. How did it die? Can we attribute that to the fact that you misused it? Or did it just drop dead that would have dropped dead anyway? So the Reisha makes no such distinction. The Gemara is going to have four explanations as to why the Reisha makes no such distinction. The Gemara is then going to have on Amud Beis three possible sources for how we know that Rabbi Meir is the Baal Hashita who says, Kol ha-mishana midas Baal Habayis nikra gazlan. That if you do differently than you had agreed to use the item that belongs to somebody else, you're a gazlan for misusing it. That is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Where do we know that that's the sheet of Rameir? Where does he ever say such a thing? Then the Gemara is going to have two definitions of a term that we use in the Mishnah of vihivrika. The Mishnah says you rent a donkey and hivrika, but it's an unusual word. What in the world does that word mean? Two possibilities and a story that relates to those two possibilities. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when a donkey is taken by the king, which is something that they would do every once in a while if the king needed some donkeys to schlep things. They would just stand by the highway and say, you, and then just grab a donkey that belonged to someone. So let's say I rented a donkey from somebody, and then as I was using it, it got taken by the king. So in what circumstances is the maskir responsible to furnish me with another donkey to replace it? And in what circumstances is he not responsible to furnish me with another donkey to replace it? That's going to be a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, how we draw that distinction. So let's begin again about 7 lines from the end of the page, on daf ayin zayin amud bey. So says the Gemara, Vamarava, Hayman to Usfe Meo Zuze Lechavre, a person who lent 100 zuz to his friend, Upari Zuza Zuza, and the friend decided he's going to do a shtick. He's going to pay back one zuz at a time. And that's how so Pira Onavi, Eladisse Tarumis Kabe. So there are two ways to look at this. Either we could say that it's a Pira On, that it's a payment, and the guy could just have tainas on you because he did pay back, but like, come on! I mean, that's the way you're gonna pay me back. So that's one pasuk. Damalei, I've said the tinuminai. Then his tainas are gonna be, you know, you're really causing me a loss over here because I can't get hanah from one zuz at a time the same way I can get from 100 zuz. Pashtus is because when you give me one zuz at a time, if I have one zuz in my pocket, I'm not gonna be so careful. It'll fall out of my pocket. I'll spend it on something stupid. It's not gonna. But if I have 100 zuz in my pocket, I'm gonna be much more careful about it. So that's what. No, that he pays him one zuz at a time. Do we assume that it's a piron and and he just could have tainas on him that that it's easier for me to loss for me to lose, and I'm not going to get hana from it? Or do we assume that not that way? So I'm sorry. It's not the Gemara is not asking. The Gemara is saying Rava is saying piron havi. It is a piron. It's just it's a teruma sadave. So it's not a shaila. It's a statement that it's considered to be a piron. It's considered to be a payment of the loan, and you can't say I'm not willing to accept it unless you pay it all. The person is not authorized to have such a to insist that it be paid bibas achas. So the Gemara tells a maisa about someone who sells something to somebody else and he doesn't get paid all in full. So who governed someone chamra lechavrei? Someone sold chamra to somebody else. Now the word chamra in Shas means one of two things. It usually means wine. In this case, Rashi says that chamra means chamor. It's a one-word Rashi. Dzavon lechamra, chamor. That he sold a donkey to his friend. That's how Rashi understands. The Ritva explains because the Gemara is going to talk about where there's partial payment for the item, and we want to know, is there any kinyan or not? Well, if it were wine, of course there would be a kinyan up until the amount that you paid for it. Whereas, when it comes to a donkey, you can't say that you've acquired, you know, you paid $99 out of $100 for the donkey. So you own the entire donkey, but we'll return the ear. We'll just cut off the ear and we'll return it back. So that's ridiculous. You can't say that, you can't do that by a donkey. So that's why Rashi Dafka says that we're talking about a donkey, we're not talking about wine. The Ramban and the Ran quote Yesh Mefarshim that a taka is about wine, that was something that is that you can divide up, and if you're only kona, and the question is, are you only kona can I get the money, or since people are not makbid on one zuz, we assume that you're kona everything. But something that's not roi lechalik, something like a chamar, then for sure you're kona the entire thing. That's how the Ramban and the Ran understand. But let's teach the Gemara like Rashi. So again, who governs zavon lechamra lechavrei? A guy sold a donkey to his friend. Upashli chadzu. And the fellow paid for almost all of it, but he still owes one more zuz. So the mocher is trying to go and collect that zuz. So Yosef Ravashi v'kamayin baki I gavnamai. So Ravashi was sitting and trying to look into this halacha when the guy owes you one more zuz. What's the halacha? Kani or lo kani? Do we say that the lokeach owns the chamar and the mocher therefore can't back out on the deal? Or do we say, what difference does it make to me if there's one more zuz or to pay, or there's way more than one more zuz to pay? Until the guy is paid in full, he's not the owner, and therefore I could still back out on it. So Rav Mordechai, the Ravashi, Hach Yom Ravimi Me'agronya Mishmei Derava. Well, I'll tell you what Rav Avimi Me'agronya said in the name of Rava. Zuza Kizuzei Dami Velo Kani. That one zuz is the same as many zuz, and therefore the kinyan is not yet chal, and the mocha could be chozer until the payment is made in full. Armalei Ravachabri Rav Yosef Ravashi V'armini Mishmei Derava. Rava Kani, what do you mean that Rava taught us that it's low Kani? We heard in the name of Rava that it's yes Kona. That you must explain what you heard in the name of Rava, that you are Kona. That when a person sells a field, not because he needs the money, but because he's really trying to unload this field. This is a horrible field, and therefore, even though he didn't get paid in full, he still wants that Mechira to be Chal. The fact that he's looking to get the last dollar is only because he wants to make sure that the lokeach will not be chozerbo. So in such a case, since that's where Rava would say that it's kani, because he is not really insistent on the last dollar. The only reason he's insisting on the last dollar is because he never wants to see this field again. He sold this field mipnei ra'asa. So Gemara discusses other cases where a mocher is trying to collect that very last dollar. So it says Gemara pshita, it is a davar pashut that a person who needs 100 zuz, and therefore boil is bune b'meya. He wants to sell a small field that he owns for 100 zuz, because he could use the cash, he could use 100 zuz. V'lo ashkach, but he cannot find anyone who's willing to buy a field for 100 zuz, and therefore v'zabin b'masayim. He sells a different piece of property that's much larger for 200 zuz. That one he's able to find buyers for. V'chayel v'nafek hazuzeh, and he's going and he's looking to collect all of the money. He didn't get full payment yet, so lo kani. The person is not kona until there's full payment, because from the fact that we see that the person, that the seller was sort of forced into selling the larger piece of land, and it could be that he's looking for the money in order to buy another field to replace it. So kol zman that you didn't pay all masayim zuz, then there is no kinyan. Ella, but if you want to have a shaila, where you have a suffek, let's say a guy wants to sell a small field that he has for 100 zuz, v'lo ashkach, and he couldn't find anyone to buy that small field, v'itarach avamashkach, but if he would have worked a little harder, he would have found somebody. He would have really been out looking for buyers, he would have found somebody. V'lo tarach, but he didn't try that hard, and therefore v'zabin b'masayim, he ended up selling a larger piece of property for 200 zuz instead of the 100 zuz that he really wanted to sell the initial property. V'kayel v'nafek azuzeh, and he now sold this larger piece of property for 200 zuz, and he's going and trying to collect every last dollar. He was only paid partially, he was not yet paid in full. So my, what's the din? Do we say kemoch hasadeh mipnei rasadami? Alo, do we consider that as if you're trying to unload a field, and therefore you want the kinyan to be chal, you just don't want the other guy to be able to be chazer, because from the fact that he didn't work very hard to find someone to buy the smaller field, and he was just so willing to sell the bigger field, even though he doesn't need all of that money, he doesn't need the 200 zuz, but his behavior shows us that he sold it because he didn't really care so much for this land that he sold. If he did, he would have worked a little harder to sell the other piece of land. So even though the payment has not yet been made in full, the mechira is chal, it's nigmar, and no one could be chozer. Or maybe no, maybe even though he didn't work so hard to find someone to buy the smaller piece of property, it's not mochiach that he sold the bigger piece of property just because he didn't like it. So therefore, kol zman that he hasn't gotten paid in full, the kinyan is not chal. So says Gemara, teku, we leave this unresolved. The Gemara doesn't have a clear approach to this shaila. That's the way we have the shaila, that he wanted to sell a $100 field, he didn't work so hard to find a buyer, and then he ended up selling a $200 field. The Rambam, Hilchos Mechira, Perches, Halacha Hey, has an entirely different presentation, and that's noted by the Agos Hagra here in Os Aleph. He says, Girsas HaRambam, Yibayilhu, Zavin Shava Meya B'masan V'ka'ayil. Whoa, a very different case. The way the Rambam has it is, the way the Rambam's Girsa is, Yibayilhu, Zavin Shava Meya Bimasan. You sold a $100 field for $200. Meaning, he bought a piece of karka that's worth 100 zuz for 200 zuz, which is way more than it's really worth, and the mocher is trying to collect every last dollar. So the Gemara is not sure if that's like mocher sadeh mipnei rasa, that the mocher is only looking for the money because he just wants to make sure the lokeach doesn't back out. It's meaning it's not so much that he needs every last dollar. It's just that he needs to make sure this kinyan is chal because he got such a great deal. So, or maybe no, maybe the fact that he's looking for the money is because he's not gomer lahaknos until he has every last dollar, and that's what the Gemara leaves as a teku. Okay, last little bit before the Mishnah, sachar sachamar vesakadar. We said that if you hire someone to schlep your pots or to schlep not pots, you hire someone to transport things for you, someone who rides a donkey or someone who, we said kadar normally means a potter, but over here it means someone who has a wagon on which he transports pots. So you have someone who's bringing things for a wedding or something like that, or for a funeral, and then it's a davra aved, he quits last minute and it's very hard to find other workers to take their place. So you have two options. You can either hire other workers to take their place for extra money and then deduct that from what you were going to pay the first guys, or you already paid the first guys, or you could mislead them. So ad kama socher alein, how much can you add to pay these new workers from with the normal market price in order to get them to agree and then deduct that from the first guys? So Rav Nachman, ad kidei scharan, until the amount that's left to pay the original workers. Whatever, I mean, if I still owe the original workers $100, I could add $100 to the payment of the second workers and never pay that to the original workers. I will not owe it to them anymore. They're the ones that quit. it, and therefore they are the ones that take that loss. Eisive Rav l'Rav Nachman, so Rav challenges Rav Nachman. We had learned in the Brisa that ad arba'im v'chamishim zuz, that you pay up until 40 or 50 zuz. So that doesn't say ad k'dei scharan. It says 40, 50 zuz. So Amalei, Rav Nachman responded, kitanya hi, that Brisa is shabasa chavilu liyado, where the balabayis has the kelim that belong to these workers, because very often someone comes to show up to a job, so they bring all the kelim and all the items that they're going to need for the job, and they leave it on the job site. So I have this as a mashkon, I have this as collateral, all of their kelim. So then I could add to pay the next workers up until the value of that of those kelim that I have, because now I'm holding on to something of value, and I can pay 40, 50 zuz, whatever it is, the kelim that the workers left by me, whatever they may be worth. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah on Amud Aleph over here. So says the Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses a person. The Mishnah discusses a person who who hires a chamor. He rents a chamor rather for a particular need, and he tells the guy who owns the chamor, "Oh, I'm going to use it in this particular way," and then he uses it entirely differently. Hasochar sachamor lahulicha bahar. He's going to bring it to the mountain he's going hiking, and he needs a chamor to schlep his water with him when he hikes. And he's going to go in the mountains. But instead, he goes in these flat plains, not in the mountains. Or babika, or vice versa. Afilu zo eser milin v'zo eser milin. Even if you're putting the same mileage on the chamor, umesa, if it dies, chayiv. The renter has to pay for it because he did differently than the original agreed upon, the original agreement that they had made. And the masker could say, yeah, you know why it died? Because you misused my... If you would have asked me what the proper usage of my animals, I would have told you what the proper usage. That's not it. You misused my animal. Hasochar sachamor lalicha bahar. Now the Mishnah gets into some details, which the Gemara is going to point out seems to contradict what we just said. Because what we just said is that if it dies, no matter what, the masker is always going to be right. Now, we don't even look to cause of death, because the masker is believed to say, cause of death is, you misused it. But now the Mishnah starts getting into details. Hasochar sachamor lalicha bahar. You rent a donkey to go bring it in the mountains. V'alicha babika, instead of bringing it in the mountains, you bring it in the bika. Im hichlika, so if it slips and falls, so it trips and falls, so potter. Even though you didn't, you're potter, even though you didn't do what you were intending to do with it, because if it tripped when it was walking in a flat ground, then for sure it would have tripped if it was walking through the mountains. So it wasn't the fact that you misused it that made it die. But if it overheated and that's why it died, chayiv, then you'd be chayiv. It probably would have done a lot better on a breezy mountaintop than it does in a hot valley where the surrounding mountains block any breeze, and therefore of course it overheated. Or lalicha bebika valicha bahar, or if you misused it in the other direction, that you were supposed to take it in the bika and instead you took it up the mountain, so imichlika chayiv. So if it trips and falls and dies, so of course it's going to be chayiv in the bika. Would not have tripped and fallen and died. But if it overheated up in the mountain, then potter, then of course you're going to be potter. Because if it overheated in the mountain, it for sure would have overheated in the bika, in machmas hamayla chayiv. And if it died, because when you brought it up from the low place to the top of the mountain, that's where it overheated because of the height of the mountain, because it had to climb so much, then you're chayiv because you were mishana it, and it was climbing the mountain that caused it to have a heart attack and die. So the Mishnah explains, Hasochar sachamor vihivrika. What if you rent a donkey and then it develops some sort of blindness, some sort of illness in the eye? That's what we can see in the Gemara, two possible definitions of the word vihivrika, but it's some type of cataract. Oshanasis angaria, or it was taken into the service of the king, that the king used to, whenever he needed a donkey, he'd send out his people, they would just go to the busiest intersection, and whenever someone was walking by with a donkey, they'd say, here, give me that. And they would start using it, and then the guy who owned the donkey would follow along until the king found another donkey to use, and then he would take that one and give back this one. So the maskir could say to the socher, you know, Hareshel Chalafanecha, you get what you get. You don't get upset. You know, sorry that you have to take it as is. There's nothing. There's no tircha that I could have done to prevent this. It's your own mazel that caused it. So it got taken from Avodas HaMelech. So wait till it gets given back from the Avodas HaMelech. Melech, but I'm not going to furnish you with another donkey in between. Mesa Unishpra, but if it dropped dead or it broke, it's entirely gone, and you have nothing on which to ride. It's not just that it's somewhat damaged. Then Chayiv Lahamad Lochamar. Then the Maskir does have to replace it with another donkey. Now the Ritva points out, if at the time that he rented it, the Maskir said to him that it's Chamar Stam, and he didn't say Chamar Zeh. So then when it dies, you have to be he's going to have to furnish him with another donkey. But if he says Chamar Zeh, then he's not Chayiv to furnish him with another donkey, unless the Nevela is worth enough that he could buy or rent another donkey for the guy's needs. So that's how the Ritva understands that qualification, that it may make a difference in the original agreement. Did they say this donkey or did they say a donkey? Anyway, the Gemara's question is, Maishna Reisha de lo kamaflug, Maishna Seva de kamaflug. In the beginning of the mission, we said, I rent a donkey, I use it for differently than I said I was going to use it, so that's it. Because I misused it, no matter what happens to it, I'm chayv. And then the Seva says, well, were you in the mountain? Were you in the valley? Did it die of overheating? Did it die? So what's the, why are we distinguishing in the Seva? We didn't make any such distinctions in the Reisha. Four approaches. Approach number one, Amri Debe Rabbi Yadai, Reisha Shemesa Shemesa Machmas Avir, that the Reisha is talking about a case where it didn't trip, it died because of the air, Da Amrinan, where we say that the Maskir could say Avir Da Har Katala, that it only died because of the air, the thin air in the mountain that it wasn't used to. Da Amrinan Avir Da Bika Katala, and if you were supposed to bring in the mountain, you burden the Bika, so the Maskir could say that the air of the Bika is what killed it, meaning I know what my animal is used to, and that's why I rent it out to be used in that context. So the Reisha is simply not talking about a case where it died of heat, nor a case where it died of tripping. It's only a case where it died of just a different atmospheric conditions. So since it got different atmospheric conditions than it was used to, so that's what caused it to die. And that the Maskir has such a taina, and therefore he can say, you, the Socher, are responsible fully. Now there are three shitos how to understand this answer. Rashi understands that even though the Maskir doesn't say that he knows for sure it died because of the Avir, and he has no raya that it died because of the Avir, but he's allowed to make such a taina that that's why it died, because of the atmospheric conditions. Second approach is Tosos and the Tosos Harash. They say, no, it's dafka if we know that that day the Avir was highly unusual in the mountain, it was very different in the mountain than it was in the Bika, or very different in the Bika than it was in the mountain, then you're going to be chayiv, because it's tchilas of v'sofo b'pshia. And we assume that if you would have brought it to the place that you rented it to bring it, then the Avir would have been more pleasant for it. So the Mishnah says that you were mishana to bring it from the har to the Bika, and not from one mountain to another mountain, because that's not normal, that from one mountain to the other mountain that the atmospheric conditions are going to be so different. Had that happened, even if the atmospheric conditions would have been different, it's not tchilas of b'pshia. But since you took it from one place to another place where it could be expected that the air would be different, and then taka, it died, that's chilas b'pshia v'sofa b'pshia. The Ritva explains that we're talking about a case where we know about this animal that a shinoi of the avir is in fact the cause of death. And that's why the Maskir could say it, that we have to know that that's why it died. I don't know, they did an autopsy or they were able to tell by the way it was breathing or something. We know that this was the cause of death for this animal. Okay, second possible answer, why is it that the Reisha doesn't distinguish between cause of death? Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina Omar, Mesa Machmas Uvtsina, that the Reisha is talking about that it died because of exhaustion. So when you bring it up a mountain, the Maskir could say that schlepping up a mountain caused it to be exhausted, and that's why it died. And even if it when it tripped, you say that's why it tripped. And when you were Mishana to bring it in a Bika, even though you don't see that it's sweating so much, and that day was not a particularly hot day, so you might say, come on, I know know that it didn't die from overheating. Well, maybe it did. Maybe you just didn't see it sweating so much. And had it been in the mountain where there would have been a cool breeze, that would have revived it, and that would have given it more vitality to it. So the case is that in the mountain it dies from tripping, but he could say that the cause of the tripping is the fact that you exhausted the animal, the bika, it dies from overheating, even though it didn't look like it died from overheating. But you could say that the reason that it died was because it overheated. So you can claim that when it was in the mountain it died from tripping, even if it didn't look like that's why it died. You can claim that when it was in the bika it died from overheating, even though that's not what looked like happened. Then the third approach, Rabba Amar Kon Sheikisha Nachash. The case in the Reisha is that a snake bit it and it died. So we know that where the Socher brought the Behema, a lot of times there are more Nechashim than the place where he was supposed to bring it. So that's why the Masker can say, you messed up. You brought it to a place that was very dangerous. You brought it to, whether it's the Bik of the Har, when you were Mishani, you brought it to a place where Nechashim are more common. And then the fourth and final approach is, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hamani, the Reisha of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. I mean, this is the only approach that says, you know what? The Reisha is Taka different than the Seifa. In the Reisha it says that there's no difference, Har, Bik, or this, that. As long as you're a Mishana, you're going to have to pay for it. And the Seifa, we started making distinctions because that's a Machlokas. The Reisha is assumed like Rabbi Meir, the Seifa is assumed like Rabbanan. What does Rabbi Meir say? Damar Kal Mavra Al-Dash Al-Balabayas Nikra Gazlan. Anyone who does different than the Balabayas had instructed him to do, he's considered a Gazlan, therefore you're going to be Chayiv in any sort of Onas that's going to happen. So in our Mishnah, you hire Midas Balabayas, you rent this animal, Midas Balabayas, and then you're Mishana Midas Balabayas, you use it for something else, you're a Gazlan, so you're Chayiv, no matter why it dies, even if it dies because of an Onas. And that's why the Mishnah is not Mechalik, whether it tripped, or whether it died of exhaustion, or overheating, but the Sefer follows the Sheet of the Rabbanan, that even when you're Mishana Midas Balabayas, you're not Chayiv in Onsim. So we have to see, did it die because of your Shinui, or did it not die because of your Shinoi? So it says, well, really, Rabbi Meir has such a shita that when you're Mishana Midas Balabayas, you're considered a Gazlan. Hey, Rabbi Meir, where is that Rabbi Meir? So three possibilities. Ilim Rabbi Meir dit Saba. Maybe it's the Rabbi Meir from the Mishnah Masechta Baba Kama about the person who's hired to dye a garment. Ditna, and the Mishnah says, Baba Kama daf kuf. Hanosin, Samar Litzaba Litzbo lo Adom. That you that a guy gives wool to a dyer to dye it red, Vitzva o Shachar, and he dyes it black. Instead, shachar tzvo adom, or he hires him to dye it black and he dyes it red. Rameir says you didn't do what the Balabayas said, and therefore you're a gazlan and you were kona the tzemer with gzela. So noslan demet tzemro, the dyer just has to pay for the wool that he just stole. So he has stolen that wool. Now he has to pay for it, whatever the value of the wool was. Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi says no, it's not your wool. You didn't steal it. It's just you made an improvement in this wool. So how much does the guy have to pay you for the improvement if it's not the improvement he had asked for? Well, it's Yado Shalatzaba ala Tachtona. Ima Shevach Yisrael Yitzia, if the increase in value of the wool is higher than the expense that the Tzaba had to put into making that increase in value, Nosa Yitzia, then he only has to pay for the expenses. But Vime Yitzia Yisrael ala Shevach, if the expenses were higher than the increase in value of the wool, Nosa Shevach, then he only pays for the increase in value of the wool, but it still belongs to the original owner of the wool. So it says, are you sure that Rav Meir's sheet over there is based on the idea that Kala Mishana Midas Balabayas is Chayv and Onsim, and that's the same thing in our Mishnah? Mimai, Dilma Shaini also, maybe by the Tzab it's different, the Kanya B'Shinu Maisa. You did something physically different to the item itself, so you Rukonu with Shinu Maisa, maybe that's why you have Kinyani Gnev on it. But in our case, where there was no Shinu Maisa, you just took the animal to a place that you weren't supposed to take it. So maybe that's not considered a kinyan at all. We wouldn't say Kala Mishana is a gazlan. You're not a gazlan if you didn't do any kinyan gzeila. Ella Amar Rabbi Meir de Magvas Purim. So it's Ella HaRabbi Meir de Magvas Purim, rather. So we need a source where a Meir says a Kala Mishana Midas Balabayas is a gazlan. It's what Rav Meir's comment about Purim money is. That's the source. Where do we find what's Rav Meir's comment about Purim money? It's not a Mishnah, but it's a Braisa. Ditanya. Migbas Purim. Someone collects, a Gabbai Tzedakah collects money on Purim, you know, Matan Savyana money that he's going to go and he's going to distribute to the Aniye Ha'ir for their Su'udas Purim. So Lepurim, it's all supposed to go for Purim purposes. Migbas Ha'ir, money that the Gabbai Tzedakah collects collects for the Aniye Ha'ir, La'osa'ir, then you got to give that to the Aniye Ha'ir. Meaning, if that's what he says he's collecting it for, that's what you're taking up the collection for, and the people are giving, assuming that that's what they're giving to, then you have to make sure that that's what it goes to. Ve'in medaktikin bedavar. But we don't say that, they don't need all this money for the Sudas Purim. Let them use, let's take the, you know, we'll give them a percentage that they actually need for Sudas Purim, and the rest we'll put away for some other tzedakah need. No, we don't do that. Avalokhin es ha'golim. That they use all the money to buy calves for Sudas Purim. They shecht it, they eat it, and whatever is left over from the meat that they don't get to eat, yipa l'kishal tzedakah. Meaning you don't just designate only some of the money to buy meat and the rest of the money you put away for tzedakah. You buy the meat with all the money, and if there's leftover meat, so that money could go to the kishal tzedakah. That meat can go to the kishal tzedakah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, migvas purim l'purim. Whatever money the ani gets for Sudas Purim, he's supposed to use only for Sudas Purim. Ve'in ani rashay likach man ritzulah sandalo. An ani can't say, well, you know, I need new shoes, or I need new straps on my shoes, so I'll use some of that money for the shoemaker. Elim kein hisna b'maymen anshei ha'ir, unless the ani made it tanai with maymen anshei ha'ir that represents all the people of that city, that he's allowed to use it for other purposes. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov shomer mishum Rav Meir. That's Rabbi Yaakov and Rav Meir, that's what the Tanakam and Rabbi Lezer say. But Rishon Gamliel Mekel. Rishon Gamliel says that the Gabayim or the Aniyim are allowed to be Mishamit for whatever it is that they need it for. People aren't makbid about that. When people know that there are Aniyim that need money, so yeah, they give it as part of their Matanos Levyonim. They'll give it as part of their Mos Chitim or whatever. But they're not makbid that all the Mos Chitim gets used to buy wheat. They're not makbid that all, you know, that it gets used to buy matzah. If you need other things, so they're happy to have it be paid for other things. But bottom line is, you see, Shitas Rav Meir is that the Ani is not allowed to be Mishana Midas Balabayas. Balabayas gave you this tzedakah for Purim. It can only be used for Purim. And therefore, that's Rav Meir in our Mishnah, that you can't be Mishana Midas Balabayas to take an animal that you had rented to bring it in a bika and instead bring it in a har or vice versa. And when you do so, you're a gazlan and you're chayiv in all onsim. So says Gemara, is that really the source for Rav Meir in our Mishnah? Dilma Hasam Nam. Maybe by the Mikvas Purim, Daitai to the Purim Yavulei. It was Aldas that you'll buy Tzorchei Purim, Adai to the Midiachrini, Lo Yavulei. Aldas that you'll use it for other things. They never gave you that money. So that's tzedakah money that we assume still belongs to the Nosein. So if the Aniyim use that money for other purposes, they're just stealing the money. Meaning, I gave you X amount of money because I thought you needed X amount of money. So whatever money you don't need, I expect to change, right? Meaning, that would be, it would be more comparable in that case to like, when you give your kid money to go do something that he needs to do, where you expect that whatever money he doesn't use, he's going to come back and give and bring the change for that money. Back when it used to be cash and change and whatever, it wasn't all electronic and, you know, to the penny. So you expect that he'd give it back. So that's not exactly a perfect parallel. So Ela HaRabbi Meir. So we have a third possible Rabbi Meir that might be the source that called him a Shana Midas Balabayis is called the Gazlan. Titania Mishum and Lazar Mishum Rabbi Meir. Hanosin Dino La'an. If you give an ani money to buy a shirt, he shouldn't buy a talis with it. Talis liikach bo chaluk, or vice versa, meishamavre al daiter shal balabayis, because you didn't give it to him for that purpose. So similarly, Rameir in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to be mishana midas balabayis to bring it in a mountain when you're supposed to bring it in a bik, or vice versa. Says Marana, v'dilma shayni hasam dasal mitzvah today. Maybe the reason that the ani is not allowed to use it for a different item of clothing than you had given it to him is not because kol mishana is a gazlan, but rather it's because they're going to be choshe de balabayis if that happens. Damri Yinchi, people are going to say, Amar plani zavnina le levusha leploni anya velo zavnle. You know, they're going to say, I remember my friend told me he was going to go buy this ani, a new suit. I see he doesn't have a new suit. He's got a very nice new talis, but I see he doesn't have a new suit. Inami zavnina le glima velo zavnle. And everyone's going to be choshe that he didn't follow through on his commitment. So Imkain, if that's the reason that the ani cannot be mishana, listening mipnei achshad, then it should have said mipnei achshad. Why does it say because you're being mavrel daito shel balabais? Shema mina mishum tishani hu v'kal mavrel das balabais nekru gazlan. It must be that it's not because of achshad, and we were correct originally. It's because when you're mishan midas balabais, you're a gazlan, and therefore that's the Rabbi Meir. That the Rabbi Meir who says that if you give an ani money to buy a chaluk, he cannot buy a talis or vice versa. It's not based on the achshad of the that people are going to be choshed. The Balabayas, it's based on Kalamashana from Das Balabais. And similarly, in our Mishnah, when the guy is Mishanim in Das Balabais and he brings it in the Bikur or the Har, where he wasn't supposed to bring it, he's a Gazlan, and he's going to be responsible no matter what for all Onsim. So then the Mishnah had said, Hasochra Sachamor Vihivrika. If you rent a donkey and Hivrika, so you could say, Haresha, the maskier can say, Haresha Chalafanecha, it's your tough luck that it's Hivrika. So my Vihivrika, what in the world does that mean? What is Vihivrika? So Hachachagimun the Horisa. So over here we explain that it means that he had some sort of cataract or something like that that covers the eye and it makes it unable to see properly. Rava Amar Avzakas, that it means that there's some sort of rotting of its feet because worms are somehow eating away at its feet. So Udamar Luhu, there was a story where a guy said to the Sarei HaMelech, Avzakas Pemilsa Demalka, I saw that that there were worms eating away at the silk clothing of the Melech. So Amalei Bimai, say, or at the clothing of the Melech, you know, the royal clothing. So Amalei Bimai, they said to him, which type of clothing did you see the worms eating at? So Bitlai Kesef or Bitlai Zahav, is it the silver clothing or the gold clothing? So the Rishonim point out, there's no such thing as silver clothing or gold clothing. That's not what people wear. No, but silver means Big Day Pishtan because it's white. So more similar to the color of silver. Gold clothing means wool clothing that they dye with a reddish color, with a reddish tinge, as gold often has a reddish tinge to it. Ikeda Amri B'tlei Kesef Amar. Some say that he said, oh, it was the silver clothing, it was the Pishtan, Uktalua, and they killed the guy because he was saying things that were not correct, that never could have happened, because it's not the nature of things that the worms would eat, the clay Pishtan. Ikeda Amri B'tlei Dahav Amar, that it was golden clothing, Vishavkua, Dahav is gold, just in Aramaic, where the Zayin and the Dalid are interchangeable. You'll notice when they read a Ksuba under a Chuppah, you pay attention, sometimes it says Bein B'dahav, sometimes it says Bein B'zahav. So it's just a question of whether they forgot to translate it into Aramaic, like the rest of the Ksuba, but it doesn't pass. So others say he told them it was the golden clothing, meaning the wool clothing, Vishavkua, and they let him be, because that's a reasonable story that he told, that it actually happened to the gold clothing. So now, the Mishnah said, Oshanasa Sangaria, Omelar Shel Chalafnecha. Sangaria is when workers for the Melech need a chamar, they go to the middle of the road and they just take from a passerby a chamar, and they use it for some period of time, and then they return it at some later time. So they would take a person's chamar, they would use it, the bailam of the chamar would follow them until they find another chamar, and then they would replace it with the new chamar and give back the old chamar. So now we have machlokas Rav and Shmuel, when can the maskir say, Harei Shel Chalafanecha? So Amar Rav Lo Shanu El Ban Garya Chazeres, Av Ban Garya Sheinu Chazeres Chayv Lam Lo Chamar. Then when do we say he could say Harei Shel Chalafanecha? That's when it was taken for Avodas HaMelech, and it was returned all within the term of the rental. So I was renting it for 30 days. It was taken on day 2, given back to me on day 5. Still more time to my rental. So then the maskir could say, sorry, you lost out on those 3 days. Harei Shel Chalafanecha. But in Angarya Sheinu Chazeres, but if I don't get it back during the period of my schirus, so then it's like the animal dropped dead in the middle of the term. So then, Chayv Lamed Lo Chamar, then you got to replace it with another Chamar. That is Rav Shito. Shmuel Amar, Bein Angarya Chazeres, Bein Angarya Sheinu Chazeres. Whether it's something that gets returned or doesn't get returned within the term of the schirus, in bederech halicha nitla, if the avdei melech took the chamar as it was going in the direction that the socher was going, so the masker could say, look, you know, this is where you were going. It's your tough luck. Vim bederech halicha san nitla, but if he didn't take it to the derech that the socher was going, then chayv lamed lo chamar. Then the masker would have to furnish him with another chamar. So it says Mar Meisve will challenge this. Will challenge the sheet of Shmuel. Again, Shmuel is one that distinguished between derech halicha or not derech halicha. Meaning, if the avdei amelech were going in the same direction as you, harei shel chalafanecha. If the avdei amelech were going in a different direction, then you need to replace it. So that was Shmuel's distinction. Rav just made a distinction between angari chazeres and angari sheino chazeres. So Meisve, the Gemara challenges Shmuel hasochas chamar vevrikos. If you rent a donkey and it develops a cataract, or it goes nuts and it's difficult to ride on the donkey because it's going crazy, so Amalo, the masker could say, sorry, harishal chalafanecha, mesa ushenasis in garia, chayv lahamalo chamar. But if it dies or the king takes it, then you have to replace it with another donkey. So that's a stira to our Mishnah, that where it said that if it's nasis in garia, you can say harishal chalafanecha. So bishlam al rav lo kasha, rav's not going to see a stira. Kan bin gari chazaris, kan bin gari sheinu chazaris. Because Rav had a chilek that there's a difference between gari chazaris and gari sheinu chazaris. El Shmuel kasha, but Shmuel didn't have such a chilek. So how is Shmuel going to reconcile the stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah? So says Mark, what do you mean? Shmuel did have a chilek. It was just a different chilek. So Shmuel will apply his chilek. V'chitem el Shmuel nami lo kasha, kan b'derech halichasa nitla, kan shlo b'derech halichasa nitla. Shmuel will very simply say that our Mishnah is talking about where they were going in the same direction, and therefore you could say Reish al-Khalif Anecha, and the Bryce was talking about where they weren't going in the same direction, and therefore you cannot say Reish al-Khalif Anecha. No, because I mean, the Ketani Sefer, B'shim and Allah's Romer, and B'derech halichasa nitla, omer lo Reish al-Khalif Anecha, v'im lav, chayv lav, amad lo chamar, m'chal del tanakam lo shayni lay. In the Sefer of that Bryce, it makes that distinction. So it sounds like in the Reish of the Bryce, we're not yet making Shmuel's distinction. And therefore it's a Kasha and Shmuel. How is Shmuel going to reconcile the stira between our Mishnah and our Bryce? His distinction cannot be the reconciliation, because his distinction is going to show up later in the Bryce. So Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with how we are going to defend Shmuel, how Shmuel is going to reconcile the Mishnah and the Bryce. Everyone have a wonderful day.